Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Joining us in our studios today is Tony Award-winning composer Jeanine Tesori. She's behind several Broadway hits, Fun Home, Shrek the Musical, and Violet, which is now having its New England premiere at the Speakeasy Stage Company. The musical is about a young woman named Violet whose face was scarred by an axe when she was 13 years old. 12 years later, she sets off on a bus journey from her home in North Carolina to Oklahoma to visit a faith healer she thinks will help her lose her scar and become beautiful.
If I had gypsy hair and a face to match it, no traces anywhere of a wayward hatchet, I could be Sid Charisse, shooting on location in some far off and tiny nation. Oh, with lips like those, I'd look almost shameless. Oh.
This is the song All to Pieces, sung by Sutton Foster on the 2014 original Broadway cast recording.
I'd give the preacher my mountain to go.
Violet was the first musical that Jeanine Tesori composed when it debuted off-Broadway in 1997. It fizzled a bit then, but now it has come back to life. Jeanine Tesori is with us to talk about how the musical has evolved. Welcome.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
So let's talk about this song that we're hearing the trail end of right now, Violet. In this song, a young scarred woman is listing the celebrities she loves and what physical features she wants to have that are like theirs. And, you know, there's a bit of an optimistic tone to the music, but probably the audience is thinking, oh, no, she's doomed, right? I mean, so how do you kind of navigate that?
Well, you know, at the time when I wrote this and had the idea, it was in the early 90s. This opened in 1997, 96. And at that point, there wasn't as much the knowledge of plastic surgery that you could sort of go to the Costco of body parts and like there is now. And I remember thinking at the time, you know, beauty is not a la carte. And yet there's so much dissatisfaction that I hear from myself and from so many women about how they look and their relationship to their bodies and their faces. And this, to me, it was the song is a song of hope and also a desire for a different kind of ending, and that all things would be solved only if one thing would become true, that she could change something. And eventually what, of course, a lot often happens, the change needs to be internal.
Right. Is that the overall, overarching message, you think, of Violet, or is there something else?
I think that the idea, you know, when I was pregnant when this opened, and then my daughter was 17 when we came to Broadway 17 years later. It's quite a journey. And I think the difference was that I realized that the Violet's journey was that she was looking for a miracle, and she found the miracle immediately on the bus in the form of another person. Mm-hmm. But she didn't have the right lenses. It's like that when you go to the optometrist, better, 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 and they lock in those lenses. Mm-hmm. She didn't have the lens to look at who the miracle was right beside her. It took her the entire trip to realize that that was the end of the journey.
Hmm. And is that something that you feel was almost happening personally? Is that why you bring up your daughter and being pregnant at the time, you know, looking at things through a different lens?
I think that it being my first musical, I was guessing a tremendous... I was guessing so much of... I didn't have a lot of tools in the tackle box of how to write a musical. So it was interesting coming back and doing some revisions, and that's actually what they're doing at Speakeasy. They're the first theater to do this version, which I'm really happy about, especially because Paul Daigneau did the original back in 2000, and I'm very moved that they're returning to the piece. And I think the maturation, I hope, of me as an artist and Brian Crawley and our revisiting it, that we were able to shed some clarity on what we did by sort of a blind impulse in a lot of ways, and that we were able to design it this way.
Mm. And this way is also a much sleeker version. It's one act instead
yes.
of two, right? What are some of the big, tell me one or two of the big changes. That's one of them, right?
That's the big change. It actually was the way that we first did it, without a break because of the journey. And usually in a two-act structure, there's a complication at the end of the act. And this really isn't a complication as much as she's following the topography, I would call, of the heart. And then she suddenly you're delivered at the very end of what she thinks is going to be the narrative. And it turns out as often that she's innocent of what the event really is.
Hmm. You know, I want to hear a little bit more music here. And this is the song Raise Me Up. And this is Ben Davis from the original Broadway recording playing the preacher. Let's listen.
What do you do when even the family doctor shakes his head?
Raise up!
And says, I'm sorry, I've done everything I can.
Raise up!
He says, there's not a pill in the world can help you now. Well, I know one doctor you can surely depend on.
What is his name?
Well, his name isn't John Hopkins. Oh, no, his name isn't Ben Casey.
His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus.
If you believe in Jesus, raise your hand.
Now, what do you think that you're saying, or what is this song saying and Violet saying in terms of questions about faith?
Well, you know, when I was 24, I had a mentor, Burl Redd, and he was from Arkansas, and I spent a lot of time in Nashville, and when I was writing this, I took the most of the journey that Violet actually takes, and I went to a lot of Pentecostal services. I went to a snake handler. I saw a healing that I'd never seen in my life. And I'm from Northern Long Island, and so not even Southern Long Island. And it was so powerful. And I think that I had not a cynicism about it, but I didn't understand the import of it. And this faith that you could feel the energy in the room when they were laying on hands of this young, I mean, he wasn't that young a boy. He was a teenager, but he was holding this stuffed bunny, and everyone in the church came and laid their hands on him. And it was so moving. And I thought, there is something here. When everyone is a laser beam of energy from a group of people to one event. And I thought, is that what faith is? I don't know. It's mysterious. But I knew I wanted to write about it, especially with the power of a choir behind it.
Hmm. Now, you said that when you saw this film, Violet, it was a film in 1981, I believe, that story always stuck with you. Why do you think that is?
You know, I only envision Didi Kahn, who is a favorite actress of mine, and she was in it, and I don't remember anything else about it. It was a short on Showtime, but I remember thinking, I have never seen a character like that in a musical. I wasn't even writing at that point. I was trying to be a pianist and an arranger and a conductor, and it just haunted me, that the adage of writers putting things in drawers. I didn't even have a drawer. I had no money. So it just was in my head. Mm-hmm. There's a character that I want to know more about.
What about the different musical styles? We've got sort of a folksy song in All to Pieces. We've got sort of a gospel song in the Raise Me Up. I mean, how do you put all of those together and choose, I guess, when you're putting this forward?
I wanted to make the music take the same journey that Violet takes, mm-hmm. so that really she's what I would call her. She's the driver of the struggle bus, and as the music changes from Appalachia to R&B, there's music from the army, and then you get into the gospel choir in the church, and then there's the internal music of the heart. That the audience, I always want them to feel like they are seated next to her. They're hearing what she's hearing, both inside and out.
You know, this musical set in 1964. The film was in 1981. This debuted off-Broadway in the 90s, right? So I'm just wondering, what makes it relevant today? Or I guess, how is it relevant to the audience in 2016, do you think?
Well, it was interesting being pregnant and then having a teenager and realizing that I the most important thing is for me to be a mother, and yet I know that I'm doing things in raising a child that are going to create certain kinds of scars or imperfections. It just comes with the idea of parenting. And I think in this case, the theme of forgiveness and knowing that a lot of the scars that we hold are not visible, they're internal. And then as children growing up, it's our responsibility to do that healing, not the responsibility of our parents.
All right. Janine Tesori, Tony Award-winning composer. She did the music for Violet, which is having its New England premiere at Speakeasy Stage Company right now. For more information, you can go to our website, radioboston.org. Janine Tesori, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks, Deborah.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.
Walk, will you ease my mind? Will you bring me to life?